this regular meeting has been, sorry. Adequate notice of this and regular meeting of Lawrence Township Zoning Board of Adjustment has been provided by filing the annual meeting schedule with the municipal clerk as required by law, and by filing this agenda and notice with the municipal clerk, posting prominently in municipal building and mailing to the Trentonian newspaper. Kelly, call the roll.
Mr. Blaney has an excused absence. Ms. Denver? Mr. Cohen?
Here.
Ms. Holtham?
Here.
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Ms. Sigalakis?
Here.
And Mr. Camasco?
Here.
So we have the March 19th minutes for approval.
I have a comment, question on the minutes, and I would be happy to, you know, have everybody tell me that I misheard something, but my comment is in regards to the account of the testimony by the neighbor, Mr. Melchiori, at 9 Bennington. What I don't see reflected in the minutes, it's my recollection that, and again, I invite, you know, other people to tell me, you know, you didn't hear it that way, or you know, you heard something different. But it's my recollection that he testified that one of his concerns was that the addition was going to encroach on open space in air and light. And I felt that that was important, and it was actually the motivating factor for my no vote, because it does state in the requirements for that zone that open space is part of the intent and purpose of that particular zone. And I don't see that reflected in the minutes, and I think because that's material to the case and to my vote, unless somebody, you know, else says, no, that didn't happen, I'd really like to see that reflected.
So in this case, can we have the revision made and see a new version of it at the next meeting, or?
We can do that, or we can go back, listen to the tape, and if it is indeed said in that matter, we can just add it in and adopt as amended, so whichever the board would prefer.
Whatever is organizationally, you know, easiest. I mean, obviously, it doesn't change the vote. The motion carried and it passed. But I just feel because it was what was the rationale behind my vote, I would like to see it reflected if possible.
Okay. So how about we listen to the tape, insert language, and then we will email the minutes around to the board.
Okay. Thank you.
So we can adopt as amended.
Thank you.
Okay, so then do we still need to do anything with that today?
You want to
table the minutes.
You want to table it or adopt it as amended?
Oh.
You know, we would add it in as the amendment.
Well, are you comfortable just having that added in administratively?
Yeah, I'm fine with that administratively.
You could adopt
it. Yeah, I trust
amendment.
It. Yeah, like I said, it's you know, it doesn't change the outcome.
Sure.
So do I have a motion to approve the minutes, knowing that there will be an amendment coming?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Wait a second.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Next up on the agenda, we have public participation for items that are not on the agenda, so not related to the bulk variance application that's before the board tonight. So if there's any sort of additional public business, make yourself know. See any? Moving on, we have two resolutions to adopt from previous meeting. We have the resolution of memorialization 10-25Z, bulk variance application number ZB5/24 for 7 Bennington Drive, as well as a resolution memorialization 9-25Z, bulk variance application ZB1/25 for 6 Morrill Road. Can we approve these as a bulk?
Maybe not together.
Okay. Can I have a motion to accept these? Okay.
Motion to approve.
Second?
I'll second.
I think we should take a separate vote.
Okay. There are different people.
That and Mr. Johnson voted no on one and yes on the other, I believe.
That's correct.
Okay.
So if we could vote separately.
Sure. Okay. So for the first one, for the memorialization 10-25Z for 7 Bennington Drive. All in favor?
I'm on no vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. You guys have no vote. Yep. Okay. And for 6 Morrill Road, ZB1/25, memorialization 9-25Z. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. So, for our application this evening, we have bulk variance application ZB2-25 for 163 Gedney Road. So it seems we have the applicants here. Come up, introduce yourself, and spell your name for our recording secretary.
Madam Chair, as the applicants are settling in, I'll indicate proof of notice publication or an order toward his jurisdiction this evening. And if you could, both of you raise your, stay seated, raise your right hand, we'll swear you in at the same time. You swear the testimony you're about to give in this matter is truthful. Thank you. And if you'd introduce yourself and then also give us your name for the record.
Kristen Petrick.
And I'm Benjamin Petrick. It's P-E-T-R-I-C-K.
Thank you.
So you can start by just sharing some of the details of your application and why you're before the board tonight.
Sure. So recently there was a complaint about our property. We built a pergola in the back a few years ago. We did not go and get the approval for it. That was our mistake. And I put that into my letter to the board. It's been there for about 2.5 years now, maybe a little bit less than that. And we've not gotten any notice about it before, and all of a sudden there apparently was a complaint, and the township came out to check to see what was there. We got a notification that there was a, I don't remember what the right word is, but that we were in violation. So I came to the building permit department and spoke to them. They informed me that I needed to come talk to zoning first, and once I went through zoning, then I could go through them to get the building permits for it retroactively. So that's why I'm here. So the pergola itself, as it's noted in the report that the consultant provided, it is in the back. It's close to the property line. Our whole neighborhood has accessory structures in the back of everyone's property. My garage itself is actually only 1'8" away from my rear property line and about 5 feet from the side property line. Our whole property actually is non-conforming with the current zoning regulations. So you're supposed to be 60 foot wide, our property is 50 foot wide. You're supposed to have a minimum side yard of 10 feet. We have a minimum side yard of 5 feet with our house. And again, the accessory building setback is only 1.67 feet instead of 5 feet. The pergola is set on top of the deck. The deck is at grade. There was a picture in the letter that I wrote to you all as well to help give you a visual of it. So the deck is at grade. It was really just so that people weren't standing on grass back there, that's all. In my opinion, in our opinion, it's in keeping with the structures that are in the neighborhood. Same thing with the setbacks as well. And a lot of the properties right by us have their garages and other sheds and things very close. So when we were putting it up, we didn't think it was going to be a problem, and sort of looking at our garage example of the proximity to the property line. There is a 6-foot fence all the way around the property line as well, so it just hides it from view as well, for the most part. The top of it you can see.
Great, thank you so much. I saw the report, but I did want to start with Brenda. Any of your comments or questions?
And I will be speaking on the planning end of it tonight, too, if you have any questions on Jim Kyle's
report. Brenda, do you swear the testimony you're about to give is truthful?
Yes.
Maybe you could introduce yourself.
Brenda Kramer, the assistant municipal engineer. I'm a licensed engineer, and I'm also a professional planner. And tonight I will be handling any planning questions that come up. With respect to Mr. Kyle's report, our normal planning consultant could not make it tonight, but he did submit a report for the record which summarizes the variances. So on the engineering end, can you tell us about the drainage impacts from the roof area of the pergola?
Sure. Right now, any water that lands on top of the roof sheds off onto our own property, we have stones around the side of it.
Okay, that was really all I had engineering-wise. If the board does approve it, I would recommend that the resolution include a clause that it can't be converted to livable space, meaning walls.
We agree with that, too.
And then, of course, any necessary construction permits would have to be obtained, but that can't be done until one goes through the zoning process. So with respect to the planning consultant's report dated May 14th, Mr. Kyle summarized the existing conditions, and he also provided a chart of exactly the variances that the board is going to be looking at, which are the variances for the accessory building setback for the pergola and the setbacks for a deck. Normally, a deck is supposed to be 15 feet from the property line, and the deck is approximately 5 feet from the property line. And then just for the board's information, generally, you know, the setbacks are provided in the ordinance to ensure that there is adequate space between properties and improvements. Sometimes mitigating factors are buffering, such as a fence or landscaping. With something that's this close, it would be difficult to install landscaping, but there is an existing fence. So these items might be considered by you as you weigh the testimony of the applicant.
Okay. And then in terms of the planning questions, the report, but was there anything in this that you particularly wanted to ask questions about related to the application?
I think that we're going to hear some comments and testimony from some neighbors about the use, which goes to Mr. Kyle's conclusion about the proximity of activity. I think that is probably the crux of the matter.
Okay. Great. I'm going to open it up now to questions from board members.
My question is pretty simple. I'm looking at a survey that was included with our packet. I guess obviously it's pretty dated. It's at least 20 years old. Obviously you want to create additional outdoor seating by putting this deck pergola in, or as I know it's been installed already. It looks like you already, besides your front porch, which I'm not going to address, you already have a pretty big patio adjacent to the house, if this is correct, probably 300 square feet, three times, more than that. So that's, I guess, reasonably significant. So do you need the extra space in the back? Because you have a significant patio as exists now.
I mean, we like to have extra space. We do have parties back there. We do have parties with our friends, and we invite a lot of people over. And it gives us more space to entertain. And
it's just a nice covered space. I like to read a book out there. I like to just hang out with my kids and play games out there. It just gives us an extra space to do things.
Thank you.
It said that the fence was obscuring it from the adjacent properties. In the picture, it didn't really look that way, so I'm wondering, is that the framing of it, or is it just mostly obscured? It looked like it was significantly higher than the fence line.
It is.
Okay.
But most likely, it's more referring to, if people are sitting on the underneath the pergola, that type of activity is buffered.
So the activity is buffered, okay. And
from view.
There are other properties that have similar structures. Is this in the same style as similar structures?
I didn't
area?
See one that was in the same style as okay. this, but other properties do have improvements that are in the back of, in the backs of their lots. I did not walk on other people's properties to do a survey.
Okay. And did you guys consider putting it somewhere else in your yard?
If we put it someplace else in the yard, it would have been in the middle of the yard.
Yes.
Our property is only 50 feet wide. So there is limited space to do that. With it being a covered structure the way it was, we just were trying to site it properly in the back there.
Okay, thank you.
So in terms of if I were to walk around your neighborhood, you know, I can see from the picture that was part of the application that some people do have sheds that are in the back of their property, near the property lines. Mm-hmm. Are there other people in the neighborhood who have structures that are similarly close to the property line but are, you know, used? So entertaining spaces, that kind of thing, rather than a storage shed.
Well, people have other structures in their backyards. They have decks, they have...
Pergolas.
They have, I mean, there's things around the neighborhood. I mean, just because mine might be a little bit different, I don't know that it, you know, it's, when I say it's in keeping, I would say that the angle of it is similar to the angles of the structures around it as the other sheds and garages. I don't think it's super imposing visually to folks. It's actually pretty open and you can see right through it.
I'm going to, I suspect that some of the testimony that we hear from your neighbors, although I won't speculate too much, will be related rather than to the sight of it, to the noise of it. So I'm just wondering, when you look around the neighborhood, thinking about what's in keeping with what's happening on all the neighboring properties, are there structures that are similarly used?
The structure doesn't make any noise. The people make the noise. We make the noise. And if this structure was in the middle of our yard, my neighbors would hear the same noise that we make. We are, like I said, my property is 50 feet wide. It's pretty open in the back between all the different yards. There's mature trees, but a lot of them have died over the years, so it's more open between all the different properties. Like I said, I can hear my neighbors when they have parties. They can hear us when we have parties. So.
And
I don't think it would matter if it was...
No one's ever complained to us about noise, ever? Not once. Have we ever been cited about noise? Not once.
Okay.
So,
thank you. Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, so I got a couple of questions here. So I'm looking, and first of all, I just want to apologize that I had never heard the word pergola before this evening, so now I know.
I don't even know exactly what to call it, but,
right.
You know,
all right.
It needs a name.
Okay. So I'm just looking at this, and you've already acknowledged that you, you know, you failed to get a building permit, and I think we appreciate that, your acknowledgement of it, but I have to ask you to state for the record, I mean, just looking at this, why didn't you? I mean, I look at this and, like, I can tell that this requires a building permit. So what was your rationale for not getting one?
We just didn't think of it at the time, quite honestly. We were thinking about buying one from, like, a Costco or something like that. Yeah, and we were looking at that, and by the time we looked at the price of those, and I was like, well, we can just build it. And it just kept going, and we just... didn't do it.
Did you build it yourself, or did you have a contractor?
I built it.
You built it. Okay. All right. I was going to say, if your contractor should have advised you on
right.
that.
No, I built it.
Okay. All right. I can certainly understand that. You testified that the water that when it rains. Now, am I understanding the angle of this correctly? That it is slanted back towards the neighboring property.
It is.
All
right. So the higher end is towards our side, and then the lower end is towards the neighbor, but
mm-hmm.
the water does not go into their property.
Okay.
It stays on ours.
All right. Even in very heavy rain?
Yep.
I mean, that's quite a slant.
It's actually a pretty gentle slope.
Is it?
The perspective of this might make it look more drastic.
Is there a rain gutter on the back side of it that catches the rain?
There is not. It drips onto the rocks below it.
And we've talked to this neighbor, and he signed that he does not have a problem with this. And we've talked to him, like, if this becomes an issue when we put it up, we can always install something. And it has not been an issue on his side of the yard.
Okay. I'm also interested in the question of why it can't be closer to the house. Other than it's not your preference that it not be closer to the house.
That's, I mean, if
is there,
we didn't
a, is
want
there a physical, to... Is there a physical obstruction or reason it can't be closed in the house other than you just don't want it?
Sure. Well, the yard is not very big. And if it was closer to the house, it would be in the middle of the yard. The back area there years ago used to have trees and everything like that, like six or
children's play fort.
Yeah, the children's play fort was back there at one point in time, and it was just a better space to put it, so it didn't take up the small amount of lawn that we do have.
Okay. All right. I don't have any further questions. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It looks like we have a fair number of members of the public joining us, so I want to make sure that we have a chance for them to ask questions. So how we usually do this is that we invite members of the public to ask questions related to the testimony that the applicants have given. There will also be a time after that, if you'd like to give testimony, aka give your opinion about the project, you'll have a separate opportunity to do that. But first we start with questions, and then we move to the other section. Okay? So if you would like to ask a question, you can make yourself known, and we'll invite you to come up and state your name for the record. Are there any questions?
Hi, my name is Eric Smith. I am the son of the owner of the house, who unfortunately passed away late April 28th. Prior to that, I had a notarized document for me to represent her at this meeting. I am also her executor in her will. Okay. So I speak on behalf of the estate. I do have certainly some comments to make, but in terms of questions, my one question would be, in terms of electric, is there electric out there to maybe support a TV that's hung on a rafter of this pergola?
There is electric out there. There's an outlet for a quad outlet, and we do have a projection screen that we can pull down, and then we can put the projector there to show things on the screen. Typically, we watch the Phillies games or the Eagles games out there with friends.
Was the electric installed up to code?
Mr. Smith, what is your address?
My current address is 120 Dispatch Drive, Washington Crossing.
But that was it before Roxborough.
Yes.
Yeah.
We just need it for the record. And you had a second question?
Second question is regarding the power that is out there, apparently. How was that installed? Was it done by a licensed contractor? Was there a permit sought for the power to be run all the way out in the backyard?
There has not been a permit yet for it. There needs to be one retroactively for it, just like the structure. I did the work myself.
Are there any other structures in the yard that essentially are possibly violation of code that have never been put through this process this evening?
Is this a question of my testimony, or is this a question of something else?
Well, I think
it's
I'm... It's a question.
Just a question. Yes or no.
If you're building something here, you may want to build something else. And I think, basically, my question is, what's next to be built?
I will say that this board handles applications related to request for variance relief.
Okay.
So if it's not related to a zoning ordinance, then it happens in the building's office related to permits and things like that. So I just want to make that clear for everyone. Do we have another question?
My name is Christine Madsen. I'm at 155 Getty Road. My understanding is that there is a bar in the garage. Does that require a permit as well?
Can you please stand up and state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Christine Madsey, M-A-D-Z-Y.
Could you come up a little bit? We'll pick you up on the tape here. We can't hear you. That's it. Thank you.
My question is that my understanding is that part of the garage has been converted into a bar area, and I'm wondering if that is needed to be a permitted item as well.
I presume that would be an
issue. Where's the bar?
I understand that the garage, that part of the garage has been turned into a bar area.
Okay, this is across from the pergola, right, in the backyard?
Yes, the pergola of mine is attached to the garage.
Well, again, I think those are all construction issues that would, electrical and other inspections would have to take place if this application is approved. So it's not directly related, but once the applicant is here and trying to get approval for what's already exists, then the construction department and the inspectors would go and check things out, make sure everything was safe.
Okay.
Garage, pergola, whatever.
Does that count as like a usable area then? I'm not sure how that counts as like a, I don't know.
Is that a usable area?
Like a living area then?
No, the garage is not finished, is it? It's a garage.
There's a space inside of it that we've turned into a bar that opens up to the space, yes. But you don't live in there. There's no heat. There's no air conditioning. There's
cement floor.
Right.
It's like probably a great majority of people in the town of Lawrence have bars in their garage for homeowner consumption and entertainment.
It's a little more. It's a little nicer than the side that we put storage on.
Is that the exclusive use of the garage structure?
In the winter, we put the cushions and store stuff in it in the winter.
You put stuff in it?
Yeah.
The garage is storage.
So it's a garage?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, that would be checked when the electrical people and the other people come out and check, make sure everything was safe. Okay. But you're allowed to do that, but they would come out and check.
Okay, and my other question or concern is I've heard from several people that there are toilet facilities at this structure behind the garage that are not connected to any current sewer line. So I'm not sure.
That's not true. There's no toilet facilities.
Okay.
I've heard that there was a bucket back there. Okay. I'm not sure. I live two properties over. I don't know what's back behind the garage. I don't go back there, but that's just what I've heard from a few people. I'm not sure if anybody here has lived behind it that knows anything. But that is a concern.
Can I just make a request to the audience? Some of us have trouble hearing when there's a lot of people talking at the same time, and I'm one of those people. And I just want to assure you that the board is hearing and listening to everything that's being said, and we're unbiased. We probably have opinions, but right now, just trust that we're just listening to stuff. So you will be heard, please, but if you could just all talk one at a time, and if somebody's talking, just let them finish. We really appreciate that. Thanks much.
Were there any additional questions from public? Yep.
Could you stand up? Come over towards the front.
Yeah, I'm the owner of the house.
Madam Chair, we took a good shot at just getting questions. We're getting testimony. So I'm going to swear everybody in as they testify. So you can ask the question or you can roll in a comment like sewers, but you've got to be under oath. So do you swear the testimony you're about to give and the questions you're asking are truthful?
I do.
Good. Could you give us your full name and your address, please?
My name is Guy Hill. I live at 63 Pfizer Road, Flemington, New Jersey.
Okay. You're on.
I just have a question about the gatherings at the pergola. Watching games, the hours, how late do the events occur, and the number of people that are there for these gatherings on the property line.
So you're questioning what goes on within the pergola, looking at games and things of that nature, and how late?
We've heard a lot of testimony about sheds and garages, right, but we haven't heard testimony about entertainment facilities being put with couches and TVs being put on the property.
Right.
And I have a question about how late do the gatherings go on, the number of people there, is there a TV screen, the magnitude of the use of the pergola.
Sure. Well, the township does have a noise ordinance, okay?
Yes.
So there's certain hours that you got to cut it off, and you can't, I don't have it in front of me, but we have a noise ordinance.
Right, but we're not talking about the ordinance, we're talking about the facts of this case.
But the regulation of what goes on within the pergola is really not within the jurisdiction of the Zoning Board of Adjustment. The Zoning Board of Adjustment is handling the land use issue about whether or not this
property should have something that doesn't comply with the zoning. That's what this board does.
The nature of it doesn't matter, whether it's an entertainment facility or a garage.
Well, if you're making a racket at a certain time and the place is being used in a way that's disruptive to the neighbors, you pick up the phone, you call the police, and they will enforce the noise ordinance. They'll come out first and tell everybody to cut it out or knock it down. They'll come out and enforce it. This board doesn't do that.
Right.
So you can certainly testify about that, and if that's what's occurring, we'll put this on the record. That's fine. But there's nothing the zoning board could do to regulate that. It has to be done by the police department.
Okay, so you're really not interested in the use of the pergola, though?
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just the structure itself, not the use.
Yeah, the problem here is it's too close to the side yard.
Right.
And as pointed out by the applicant, if you moved it into the middle of the property, they wouldn't be here, right? Because they wouldn't have side and backyard variances.
Right.
But you still have the same activity inside the pergola and the deck.
Right, the same activity at a different location.
And if that's disturbing to you or others, you have a remedy by calling the police department and they'll come out and address it.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Hi, Eric Smith.
Would you under oath this time, Mr. Smith, you swear the testimony you gave and are about to give is truthful?
Yes.
Thank you. And again, could you, for Jen, give us your address?
I'm currently in 120 Dispatch Drive, Washington Crossing, Pennsylvania.
Washington Crossing, okay. You got it, Jen?
Got it.
And again, I am the executor of the estate. So, and you cited that there's other pergolas or similar structures in the neighborhood. Can you just give me an idea of what the address is? So I'm curious myself, because I've been a lifelong resident almost of that neighborhood almost all my life. Cut through yards as a kid, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. I'd like to know what other neighboring properties have that type of structure, because you made that statement a little bit earlier.
One of our direct neighbors has a pergola in their backyard, or a covered, sloped, whatever structure we want to call it, in their backyard.
Is there an address for that house?
Yeah, what
am I required to give the address of the other property?
Please.
If it's in the neighborhood, I'd like to know, yes.
If it's helpful, is it something that appears on the map that you...
I mean, it's not on my property, so...
Is it on one of the immediately adjacent properties?
Yes.
Yep.
To the north, south, east,
to
or west?
To the east.
Okay, thank you.
We just don't want to throw our neighbor
in. And do you know how far that person's pergola is from the setback? I mean, that's the main issue here, is that you've got some structure that apparently violates the setback.
It's close, yeah.
Okay.
Another question, more so around what is the actual intent of the 15-foot setback for a patio versus a accessory structure such as a shed? Why is one a little bit further back than the other? I just want to understand the rationale of what went into the rules and regs as it pertains to that type of structure versus another, and what's the rationale behind it?
Maybe you can answer this.
I can't speak to the rationale that was established 20 plus years ago as to why some structures are 5 foot from the property line versus decks and patios at 15 feet from the property line. Years and years ago, decks and patios had to be at the principal building setback, so they weren't even allowed to be 15 feet from the property lines. But after evaluating many cases, many of which came to the zoning board, the council and planning board decided that a 15-foot setback would be more appropriate for where people would enjoy those types of structures in relation to their homes. Because usually decks and patios are built, you know, right outside the back of your house. So, you know, the setback for a deck or patio is, you know, 15 feet, unless your house is closer on the sides. If your house is 5 feet from the property line, you can extend your deck or patio out 5 feet. But it's really, the decks and patios are related to the functioning of the house. As far as accessory structures, I think it's presumed that they're not used on as often a basis as a deck or patio. So it's not as intrusive if they're tucked in a corner of the lot. That's only my opinion. I can't speak to the rationale of how the ordinance was written.
Madam Chair?
Sure.
I have a comment. So I just wanted to note that in Mr. Kyle's memo, he states that the board will need to be satisfied that the intent of the setback standards, mainly the provision of adequate light, air, and open space, is not substantially impaired by the grant of relief in this instance. So I would just take it. What I've got in my mind is similar to the application we were talking about earlier, is that the intent is adequate light, air, and open space in this case, at least what I'm reading from him.
Agreed. And normally that is, you're asking for a variance for a deck or a patio.
Right.
It's encroaching on that 15 feet.
Right, okay.
Which this application does have the deck, which is encroaching in 15 feet.
So that doesn't apply to accessories as well?
Well, the accessory setback for this zone and this property would be 5 feet. So, you know, the pergola is not at 5 feet, but it's at 2'11" and, you know, 2.9 feet, if I think that's what Jim had in his report.
Okay.
It's a different degree.
Got it. Thanks.
But the deck does contribute.
So I have a question, Brenda. In terms of other accessory buildings that are described in the ordinance, what would be some examples of an accessory structure?
Other accessory structures are garages, sheds, cabanas. I think if there's anything else. We don't regulate tree houses or children's playhouses. We view them as temporary structures. Those are the three big ones that come to mind.
Did you have additional questions or testimony?
I have testimony. I have a few other concerns that I'd like to read out. Certainly, violation of zoning regulations, as it was documented in the land ordinance, there's a reason why we have regulations. Secondly, I am concerned about the property value as it pertains to the fence. Fences are not permanent structures. A wooden fence can be blown down by the wind. The holly tree that 15 feet, maybe also kind of hiding it, it can die tomorrow. Is there any guarantee that this current screening will always be there so that ultimately I don't have to look at it? And then furthermore, what is the possibility or what prevents the next owner to move in there and turn this pergola into a little makeshift storage area of all bicycles and garbage? So there are two questions.
Questions to me? Is the board already responded?
Are they more of a rhetorical nature, or did you want response from the applicant?
Honestly, I would like to have him answer the question.
Well, we use it for our own space. As my wife had pointed out, we use it pretty regularly, especially this time of year. We're probably out there almost every single day.
The fence would always be up for us. It's a form of privacy for us. We like the fence there. We will maintain that fence there. No one can see inside of it, so I'm sure it doesn't matter if it became a storage.
But what happens if you move next week and someone else comes in? That's already been blessed by the zoning board now. What is there going to be a stipulation in the contract that sale that fence has to always be there?
I don't have an answer for that.
And also, I'd like to make a few other points. If this does pass, we are setting a bad precedent for future zoning requests like this. Certainly, there's importance to essentially uphold the zoning laws. And if you start to see one person do it, What's to stop Joe and Mary, two houses down, for doing it as well? And especially, there's a pattern here of doing things first, thinking I'll just get it in, and then I'll come to you, and ultimately get the, oh, I already have it in, moving it's gonna be a lot of work. The one thing that strikes me as very odd in this actual request or in the submission, the word awkward. Would it place both in an awkward position in the middle of the yard? You know what? No one's telling you how to build this thing. I have my old house that I lived in Lawrence. There were certainly awkward things in the yard. That's just how it is. When you bought the house, hopefully you took a look at the backyard. And then lastly, I'd like to close with, also on the electric, we heard about the bar in the garage. And I'd like to just submit this, if I could submit this to the board, because there's a pattern here where there's blatant disregard for the zoning regulations. There's a treehouse that overhangs a property line hanging off the garage on the other side. So you have the pergola, you have the bar in the garage, and then you have the kids' play area in this tree structure that's attached to the garage on the other side. There's been no discussion about that, but I have plenty of photos if you'd like to take a look.
I think as we can accept them as
an exhibit.
As an exhibit. I'll pass. Mentioned that the zoning ordinances do not cover tree houses. If a tree house is attached to an accessory structure, is that considered separate?
I would have to get an opinion on that, especially from the construction department.
Okay. Would that be a separate matter than what we're discussing today?
It could be a separate matter than what we're discussing.
Okay. It's not in the current scope, for sure.
When I spoke to the building department, they told me that it was not within their jurisdiction or anything like that because it's a children's clubhouse structure.
Did you guys need to see this?
We will keep copies for the record when you're done.
Okay.
You can just keep them.
We label them as one exhibit?
You can keep them. We'll mark them later.
So the one thing I just want, again, just emphasize that there's a blatant disregard for the zoning. Secondly, talk about runoff going one way from the pergola. Now we have a treehouse structure. The obvious has a roof. Where's that water going? And then really, you know, one question I do have for Mr. Petrick is, you know, what is your profession?
It's not relevant.
Okay, well, ultimately, I'm not an architect. But I have common sense. I know for sure that if I'm looking to do something, I'm certainly going to go through the process. I would think that someone like an architect would ultimately have that rationale, that knowledge, that expertise to understand there are zoning regulations, there's rules to be followed.
Thank you. Are there other members of the public who would like to make a comment for the record?
Yes, hi, my name is Greg Smiles. I live at 160.
We're going to swear here. You swear the testimony you're about to give us truth.
Yes, I do.
Again, could you give us your last name?
Smiles, S-M-I-L-E-S.
Thank you. And your address?
160 Roxborough Road.
Thank you.
So we're our backyard is adjacent to Mr. and Mrs. Petrick's. When they were building the pergola, you know, we saw them building it. We assumed it was approved by code and license and stuff like that, so we never said anything until we got a notice about this meeting here. And all we can say is that we've been there for 40 years. We've never heard any other noise until this pergola was built in our backyards. Of course, except for occasional parties that we all have every now and then. But, you know, as I told Mr. Petrick when I saw him one time, it's been kind of noisy in our backyard. Our screened-in porch, which we got permits for, which is attached to our house, you know, is separate from that. So we never heard anything before until it kind of moved to the back. So the size of the structure and the location of the structure has influenced the noise level in the neighborhood.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from members of the public?
I'm going to speak.
Did we swear again last time?
My Christine Mazzi. We did 155.
Yes. You swear the testimony you're about to give is truthful. And again, would you reintroduce yourself and spell your last name?
Again, Christine Mazzi, M-A-D-Z-Y.
Thank you.
155 Kidney. Two things I want to speak on. First, the pergola that is in a neighboring area. I have a neighbor who does have a pergola next door to me. It is covering a hot tub. It is set back from the side of my yard as well as from the front of the yard. So I'm not sure if it's the same pergola that he is talking about, but it is shading a hot tub, not a use kind of issue. My concern with this pergola that's been built is the same as Mr. Smile, is that this is a large, I've not been in the backyard to see the structure, but it looks to me like it's a pretty large structure attached to a bar. Since the pergola has been built, there have been numerous parties, sports, as they did say, they have parties for Phillies and Eagles events, which do not always happen to be on a Friday or Saturday night. I actually happen to work on a Friday night. The noise level has definitely increased in the neighborhood, and sometimes it's 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. A lot of loud, drunken people. There's kids running around in the front yards, coming out in between the cars. It just seems like there's the amount of space that they have back there for entertainment purposes is larger than what our lots should hold. Our lots back there, our lots are only less than a quarter acre, I believe. I think their lot is. And so to have, my understanding is to have a patio and a pergola, is that holds a lot of people. And to have that many people over regularly is kind of a noise issue. I'm two houses down, but I do hear the noise a lot. So I'm just concerned that the structure is too big for the lot and causes a lot of other issues that are going on. Thank you.
Hi, Mrs. Smile, yes. You swear the testimony you're about to give is truthful.
Yes.
Would you introduce yourself and spell your last name?
Jean Smiles, S-M-I-L-E-S. I know that you said that you really don't deal with this, but again, I need to emphasize the noise level that comes. We're all for having friends over and this and that, but this is a lot, and the noise level keeps us up at night. Our bedroom is in the back of the house, so this pergola is right, almost butting up to our backyard. If it was a couple feet over, it would be in our backyard. So, you know, I suggest that you stop at 10 o'clock, go inside. You know, it could be very simple. But the noise level, we hear every conversation that goes on because your voices rise and we can hear every conversation. So out of respect for the neighbors, I suggest that you follow the noise level, the noise ordinance that's there. Thank you.
I'd like to give our applicants the opportunity to share any comments.
Sure. I will say that I did ask some of our directly adjacent neighbors. They did not come tonight, but they did sign something saying that they were in support of granting the bulk variance. I don't know if that holds up at all, but they did.
We can't accept that.
Okay.
We have to be here to put it on the record.
Okay, that's fine. Well, let the record show that they did provide that, so even if they're not here to say it themselves, I'm saying it for them as they signed and wrote that. To me, it sounds like our neighbors are upset with the noise. And while we don't want to upset people with noise, and we understand that, The structure itself doesn't make noise. It is not creating any noise issues itself. The people using it are. And as I said before, if this structure were in the middle of the yard and meeting the setbacks, we would just be hearing people complaining about noise. None of these folks have come up to me and said it. Mr. Smiles and I talked when I gave him the notice, and he mentioned the noise to me at that moment in time, and that is, you know, we understand that. Police have been called before, and they have come, and every time they've come, they've said, we can't hear anything from the, we can't hear anything. They come back, they check everything out, they say it's fine, and they leave. They respond to noise complaints because they're required to respond to noise complaints, but they've never given us a citation. They've never given us said we're being too loud or anything like that.
I didn't know our neighbors were this upset with us, honest and truly. If I did, I would have handled it a different way. This is not the way I wanted this to go.
The other thing is the pergola has been there for over 2 years, and this only has now come up, and the complaint was made at the end of January. I'm not sure why it was made then. I don't know why there would have been a complaint then when it's been up there for 2.5 years, and we've been using it for 2.5 years. Only now has it become an issue to people, and again, it all sounds about noise. And to me, that's a different issue than a land use issue.
So I guess I have a question for our talented professionals. We're in a bit of a different situation from what we usually have, which is people coming to present an application for variance relief ahead of doing some sort of construction project. And in those situations, depending on the type of variance that's being relief that's being requested, we might have questions about how the use of the structure, how the use of whatever's being proposed to be built would affect neighboring properties, how it would be used, the hours of use, the frequency of use. These are all common questions that we ask as part of our evaluation of variance applications. So I guess my question to our professionals is there a reason that we should be treating the fact that it already exists in a different material way than we would if it didn't exist in evaluating the proposal?
Well, no, you shouldn't treat it differently. In other words, if they had come before they built this, you would have had that conversation. What do you intend to do with it? How are you going to use with it? What conditions should be? Should we always require a 6-foot fence around it? You know, you could, and you would go through those various questions, and in fact, they would be conditions of approval for the most part. So they really have the same standard. I mean, you can ask the same questions or have the same concerns. The basic problem, though, seems to be that if you deny the application, these folks could pick up that pergola and slide it in to the middle of their yard or put it behind their house and continue to do exactly what they're doing right now in terms of entertainment. There's nothing illegal about putting electricity into a pergola or into a porch or anything like that. So the dilemma is you really don't have control over what we mostly heard about tonight, and that is the disruption to the neighborhood. And we heard from the applicants, no citations were issued, no big problem they were concerned with. Obviously, there are more than a few neighbors here who believe there is a problem. But from a land use point of view, if you turned it down, they could jack it up and just pull it in 5 feet and 10 feet and continue exactly the way they are. So, but you could discuss, if you wanted to, conditions. And we, if you were to approve it, we could list those conditions and they would have to adhere to them, just like if they came in the first time and got approval.
I have a question for Mr. Schmier. This is again on Mr. Kyle's memo, and he does note that the specific standards for setbacks for decks and patios may have the additional intent of addressing the proximity of activity to adjacent properties in an attempt to limit the impacts from the noise. Although he goes on to say, although the existing 6-foot solid fence likely mitigates that potential concern, obviously it does not in this case. And but what I hear you saying here is we could potentially set the condition that we could set conditions on the noise for in exchange for the approval, is what I'm hearing you say.
Well, the only condition you could set would be you have to adhere to the Lawrence Township noise ordinance.
I see.
That's it.
Right? That's all we can do.
You can't limit the number of people. You can't say there's no electricity. You can't say you can't down. You can't have a screen. I mean, that's not within the land use window that you have jurisdiction over.
And I take your point that you can slide it, looks like 3 feet in further, and they're within it, and it's out of our jurisdiction at that point.
Except for the pergola.
Oh, it's the pergola.
The pergola would have to shift slightly. It's the deck.
See, there's my misunderstanding of the word pergola again. Apologize. So, I'm trying.
But all of it is just a few feet from where it should be, right? Like if all of these things had been slid in by a matter of feet, it would not be in front of us.
If the pergola had moved, 2 to 3 feet on both sides,
yes,
it would not be before us. But the deck is more problematic. The deck is 5 feet from the line. It's supposed to be 15 feet from the line.
So if we pretend, if we do exactly what, this is not here, I'm turning this over, I don't have a picture of it, I'm looking at this plan. The question I'd be asking you is, is there a reason that you can't have it in that position?
We didn't put it further in, so it would be less, so it wouldn't be in the way of the yard to give as much yard to the property.
If you saw a picture of our yard, you'd see that our yard is not very big as it is. It's a very skinny yard because our driveway goes our entire length of our property, which is an entire car length. So it's a very skinny property, so there's not a lot of space for grass.
Understood. And a lot of times we'll discuss, in addition to fences, other greenery that might help buffer noise or add to, the aesthetic appeal of the neighborhood, which if this was in a slightly different position would be a more of an option and is not currently. Okay.
I see we have one more. Is it a question or is it?
It's more of a statement. It's more of a correction. I think attorney mentioned they could slide it. In the application, it stated it is not possible to move the pergola or deck without deconstruction or demolition. So sliding, he acknowledged that ultimately sliding, repositioning it is not really possible. It would have to be, basically deconstructed.
Yeah, my understanding of Mr. Schmier's comment was that if it were just repositioned, so physically slid.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that, yeah.
But they could rebuild it.
Sure.
But also then it's not on their property, the property line. So you're talking about they could move it in the middle. Sorry.
And your name is?
Irene Smith, 164 Roxboro.
And was that comment truthful?
Yes. I'm saying you're saying you can move it 3 feet or whatever, put it in the middle, and solve the same problem. You're right, you can, but also then at least it's 3 feet further away from people's property. I don't care that it be in the middle of their yard, but again, it's 3 feet. Yeah, they have their noise, which is an issue, but it's also then not backed up to other people's property as it should not be in the first place.
I have a question. Is the application considered testimony?
It's part of the record.
Okay, because, and this is nitpicky, but I think you said in here, we have never received complaints. And what I heard from you is that there have been police that came by about noise, so was your intent here to describe that there was never a complaint about the pergola specifically?
Exactly.
As a structure? Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
And when you guys said the deck has to be 15 feet away, the architect or the zoning
planner.
The planner said it only needs to be 5 feet away
from the
variance. It's a 5 feet variance that we're asking for.
No, your deck is only 5 feet from the line. The standard is 15 feet, so it's a 10-foot deck.
Okay, yes. So this is just what the locate was located.
Okay.
Deck.
sorry, I'm just reading one.
Just wanted to clarify, as was stated earlier, people also didn't complain about it because they thought it was gone through the township. So people did have the assumption that it was approved instead of going complaining because you see that big structure go up. You know, it was an assumption, like he assumed he didn't need to.
I have a question about the how much of the property can be covered by decking and patio and that. I'm saying that because I own a property in another area, and when I applied, when I went to put a deck in, I was not allowed to because I was covering too much of the ground surface with that. So I'm wondering, because there is already an existing patio with a deck, and they just stated that there's a driveway going all up as well as the house, how much of that property can be covered surfaces?
In this zone, you can cover 60% of your property with impervious surfaces. The applicant did a calculation and included all the items and came up with 42.5%. So they do, they are under, did they comply? And it is different in every zone, and you could be a street over, and it might be a different regulation.
Board members, I invite you, if you have thoughts about this application, what your wonderings are as we start to discuss that, you saw what our standards are that we need to satisfy, be persuaded that this application satisfies in order to grant variance relief. So I think that we should have a discussion so that it's on the record about whether we think that it, you know, whether in our having heard the facts, having heard the testimony, that it meets the standard that we need to meet to grant variance relief. Mm-hmm.
I just have a concern in this case, and I think the zoning board, you know, the regulations, sometimes the regulations are what they are, but in this case, we've heard testimony from multiple people, all opposing. Now, they're pretty much opposing the noise variance, but that's concern. We have no control over that, and I get it, but we have no control over the noise variance. But you know, we can either accept or deny the applicant before us. You know, what they've said and what we've heard about other structures, what we've heard is they were low impact structures. They're either garages or sheds. There's no activity. There's no, as far as I know, there may be electric, but you have a big screen TV and you have electric that you testified. In your testimony, you have electric and a screen on the pergola. That could also impact things. So, in terms of noise and everything else. So, my personal opinion is I think, I'm sure there's workarounds, but my personal opinion is I don't look favorably upon this application. And the homeowners can find some workarounds.
Yeah. I've been on this board for 9 years now, and I'm going to tell you what I see happen 9 times out of 10. Actually, it's probably more like 99 times out of 100. When a homeowner comes wanting to put some sort of an accessory on their property or extend something back, is they're required, as you were, to send out notice to their neighbors. The notice goes out to the neighbors. The neighbors take a look at it. You know, if any of them show up, and it's rare that they do, they don't really have a lot of questions. They feel, you know, they're glad to have been informed. And then what happens at that point, after that point, if the thing that they did causes excessive noise, you're right, to your point, it's the people, it's not the structure, and it's not within the purview of this board. Our job is done at that point. I hear what my colleague, Mr. Cohen, is saying, is I can't unhear what I've heard here, is a lot of people came and they offered testimony, And if you'd only come to us before with an application and followed the process, followed the rules, people wouldn't have known. They wouldn't have seen on paper what it was you and how you intended to use it. And you probably would have gotten, you know, based on everything I've heard, nobody would have objected. You might have gotten that variance. And I am also, like I said, I can't unhear what I've heard, and it's very difficult for me to support this.
I think that where I am right now is usually when homeowners come and they are coming to us and requesting what's essentially a hardship variance, that we have a very narrow lot or we have a pie-shaped lot. We want to put something, but meeting the setback requirements is not practical. And yes, we've talked to our neighbors and know they're not going to sell us a parcel of their land so that we are in conformance. What I'm seeing here is that if you had come to the board ahead of doing any construction and you said, we would like to put it here, I certainly would have asked questions related to, how do you intend to use this structure? Why are you placing it at the rear of the property? Are there any concerns about noise to adjacent properties? Are there ways that we could buffer it, provide some shrubbery, some something that would help absorb some of the noise, and maybe orient it differently so that the deck is closer to what right now is open yard space, so that you're requesting fewer variances and we're not as out of compliance as this particular plan is right now. We can't speculate totally about what would have happened, what the outcome would have been. Each application is different, and we hear the facts of the application. We make a ruling based on what we hear. But it is difficult. I certainly understand from your perspective what you've testified to, that this was the most convenient place in the yard. It allowed you to sort of maximize, in your view, the use of your backyard space. And I understand that. And also thinking about, well, what is the purpose of land use ordinances? It's to think about, you know, how the community is using space and the kinds of standards that we want to have so that we can all be good neighbors. So that's where I'm struggling a little bit. Yeah, if you had oriented it in such a way that you were not requesting variances and it were just a noise issue, we'd say it's just a noise issue. Work it out with your neighbors. Follow the noise ordinances in the town. But the reality is that we have an application here that does require variance release, and so it is before us. And so when we're thinking about, does it satisfy the negative criteria, it's, you know, does the benefits of the deviation substantially outweigh any detriment? We can't grant C bulk variances unless the negative criteria are satisfied. So I think that there's pieces like that as a board we need to consider, that makes this a bit different, in my opinion, from some of the other applications we've seen from homeowners who want to put, for example, a storage shed on their property line and are asking for variance relief for the setback requirements. So that's sort of where I'm thinking right now, but I'd also like to make sure everyone on the board has a chance to weigh in on the record.
Yeah, I think often in similar circumstances, there's something conditional where we do require additional, you know, like guarantees around the fence or additional planting materials, or might suggest that it be slightly moved in order to allow for those things. And it's important to come from that mindset and not think too much about the fact that the property is already built there. That's what I'm struggling with right now. Especially given the criteria that there's no substantial impact to surrounding properties, and the fact that like we can see it over the fence and the angle of the structure, I don't know if it's blocking noise or causing more of it.
I'm struggling still, because when I came in, what bothered me was that this was done, or we're trying to approve something after the fact. But from what Mr. Speer said, that's not the way, it's not an issue or problem for me. And I don't have the same problems my fellow board members have, because my simple mind thinks that if this is in the middle of the yard, you're going to have the same noise problem in the neighborhood, and so I'm struggling. I understand the neighbors, or some neighbors are opposed, the ones that are here are opposed, but I would tend to vote in favor of the application.
Can I add one more thing?
Sure.
I did want to add one thing, I think kind of emphasizing something I heard Ms. Holton say, is that, so the criteria that we're given is that we can grant hardship variances by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, or shape, by reason of exceptional topographic conditions, physical features, by reason of extraordinary exceptional situation, and I didn't hear any of that as the rationale for why it was put there. I just heard it as that's where we want to have it. And that's what's, I think that's what's troubling me.
Oh, I would, can I, am I allowed to talk at this point? I'm not sure.
I'm fine. I mean,
sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to stress that before, I don't think I said that's where we want to have it. We said if we put it in the middle of the yard, it would be an impact on the usable space. And the usable space for the family, and you know what we were trying to do is make a better home for us, and have this space out there. 90% of the time, it's just our family that's back there, and my neighbors probably don't even know that we're back there. There are times when we have friends over, and yes, people get louder when they're all together.
Keep that into respect now that we know people are so opposed to this.
Right. You know, when I read through Mr. Kyle's report, I was happy with what it said. I actually thought it was pretty favorable what he was saying in there. I know he laid it out and said these are the things that the board needs to listen or needs to think about. But when I read it, I thought it was a good thing, and I thought he was suggesting that. This is not a big land use variance to request, given the neighborhood that we're in. I could go on about other things that we've heard tonight if you would allow me to, but if not, I understand that as well. I don't want to speak out of turn.
You're welcome to continue.
Okay. I could probably fill this room with people that would be in support of this. Yes, they're the people that come to the space with us. A lot of them are our neighbors. We didn't think we needed to bring them here tonight. We didn't think it was important to have people come and say that they needed to stand up in support of it. Instead, we've heard four people that don't even live in our town. One is the executor of a property behind us, but do not live in our town. We did hear from other folks that concerned about the noise, and we can respect that. But again, nobody came to tell us that they had a problem with it. The police might have come, but the police told us it wasn't an issue. So again, I'm just going to go back to the point of this is about land use. It's not about noise. If it's about noise, things can be done about noise. We can be respectful of noise.
I want to be respectful to my neighbors. I don't want to be that person that people want to make go through all of this. That's not who we are. That's not what we want. And if I knew that this was causing such a problem, we would have done things differently. Or if the game was going too late, we could go inside. Yes, that is a definite thing that we probably should have done, but didn't know it was causing such a stir. Had no idea.
I just want to make a comment that she said that she didn't know that it was noise was a problem, but they did say the police were called. They said the police said there wasn't an issue, but so it's hard to say that we could change the noise point of it when they're saying that they don't know about it, but the police came. So it's like, it's not a comforting feeling to even say that the noise issue can be changed, because if the police are called to your house for noise, then you know that it's bothering someone. So that part of it, and we don't live there at the moment in that house, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't change anything. Just that we still have a right to say that this isn't okay, and the rules are the rules.
Thank you.
And to your point, when you said police were called,
yeah.
my understanding from what I heard from them is that the police were called not just on one occasion, but several occasions.
Yeah, so I don't know how it's not knowing that noise is an issue.
Case, the noise was an issue, and they were aware that noise was an issue, and their structure was impacting the quality of life of those people, the neighbors around us, around them.
Can I make one comment, Joe? I tend to look at things in patterns, and typically we see patterns that tell the story. I'm hearing a pattern tonight that ultimately noise has been an issue. Maybe I haven't called the police. Most neighbors don't want to be that neighbor. I'm going to call them. No, I don't even want to be here tonight. Honestly, I wish this was addressed without me coming here. But ultimately, one thing to keep in mind is people don't want to be that neighbor, you know, always calling the police on someone. It really puts that neighbor in a tough situation. Secondly, regarding patterns, again, I just want to emphasize, pattern of a pergola deck without the zoning approval, pattern of installing electric, no zoning approval, pattern of a bar in a garage, no zoning approval, and a pattern of this treehouse or fort on top of a structure, no zoning approval. What's next?
I do want to reemphasize that the treehouse structure, the enforcement of noise ordinances, the enforcement of permitting from the building department, all of those fall outside of the jurisdiction of this board. So we're really talking about the land use. I guess when I'm looking at this, like, yes, it's, we don't know what would happen if things were oriented differently, if the noise would still be an issue, if there would still be unhappy neighbors, but it wouldn't be before us to decide, right? So if, for example, the deck were satisfying the setback requirements and not being 5 feet, but instead being 15 feet because, for example, the pergola and deck were turned 90 degrees towards the middle of the yard, and the intensity of use on the property was more towards the center, it could have an effect. My interpretation of the zoning ordinances and the reason that we have setbacks and that the reason, as Brenda suggested, that for patios and decks, they have larger setback requirements than for accessory structures, is related to how you would typically use those. And like, yes, if you have a deck on your house, you're going to be out there, you're going to be making noise, you're going to be enjoying the outdoors. If you locate all of that activity to the corner edge of your property, my logic says to me that it has a higher probability of bothering the neighbors. That's just the way that I'm interpreting that. If this were a case where everything was conforming, we would have nothing to say about it. But the fact that there is a nonconformance and we're being asked to grant variance relief means that we do have to care about how the land is being used and the effect on adjacent properties and whether it fits with the intent and purpose of the land use ordinances in the Township of Lawrence.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Earlier, Attorney Schneider told me that the usage wasn't really an issue and that we should just go and have the police come and comply with the ordinance. And then I heard from the front that the usage would have been evaluated at the time that the variance was submitted. Would the usage have been looked at if this variance, wouldn't we have had the opportunity to confront the usage of it?
If this application had come before being built, certainly neighbors would have received notice of
that opportunity has been eliminated. Now the opportunity is you can go and try to either have a nuisance suit or something of that nature.
Well, I think the opportunity to comment and ask questions about this particular use of land is what we're doing right now.
The usage was never evaluated, and so because he put this in, now we're going to live with it, and we can file a nuisance suit or something of that nature.
I think what, Mr. Schmier, I don't want to speak for you, but if you'd like to just reiterate what you said, it's more about that this board doesn't enforce the noise ordinance, compliance with noise ordinances.
Right.
So in that sense, it's out of our jurisdiction.
But the usage would have been evaluated. It could have been evaluated at the time of the initial variance.
I think what the chairperson is trying to say is that if this had come in before it was built and you wanted to get this close to the side yard, believe me, this young lady would have asked the question, well, what's your intended use
exactly.
of a pergola? And Mr. Johnson would say, what's a pergola? What, that's what, that would be the question.
What I'm getting
and then the question
that
would be,
for the,
well, you've got a big long backyard here.
Pardon
why are you putting everything on the right. backyard
exactly.
in, on the line?
Right.
And
the use
that would have framed the issue at the time. And the question, and really the legal question for this board is, because the chair also pointed out, this is what's called a hardship variance.
What is the hardship here?
And the question is, the hardship variance is because of the narrowness of a lot or the configuration of the lot,
so
you can't comply appropriately with the zoning regulations, okay?
Excuse me.
That's what a hardship variance is all about.
I just want to make sure that
board,
when he's giving the explanation that we don't
And the board has to evaluate whether or not they heard testimony tonight, which satisfied the board that there's a hardship here if they complied with the regulations in the zone. I mean, that's getting back to the land use question.
I think Mr. Johnson said it doesn't satisfy any of the criteria.
I said nothing of the sort. I did said nothing of the sort. I said I asked questions. I said what my opinion was.
Oh.
I did not offer any testimony. I did not say this does not satisfy it. I said, in my opinion,
right.
as a board member, I'm concerned about it. I just want to be clear about that. Okay?
Right.
And my evaluation of it, okay, because if I were to say this does not satisfy it, that's not in my purview to do that. I'm listening. My job is to listen to people to come in. I gather from evidence of what people say, what they testify, of whether there are negative impacts based upon the legal requirements that I am required by law to consider. Okay? So I just want to be clear. I did not, Jeff Johnson of Lawrence did not say this does not meet the criteria.
Is there further discussion from the board, and then we can come back?
Want to close the hearing?
Yeah, I think there was one more comment, but then we should close the comments from the public. And
this is a comment, and it took me a little while to put things together, but I'm getting 155. Genley Road. My daughter told me today that somebody came over, that Ben came over today and asked her to sign a sign something saying that we had heard about the hearing. And earlier he had said that he had neighbors sign that they approved this variance. And I'm wondering if the two things are connected and what my daughter signed today from Ben, she's only 19, she's not the homeowner.
It wasn't today.
It had to do with the variance of the pergola, is what she said.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's not something that we're considering as part of this application.
And Christine, it's not that. We didn't have her sign something like that.
The applicant served notice of this hearing tonight personally, went around to the neighbors, and as he got a service to somebody, he gave them a message, he asked them to sign a piece of paper saying they got it.
Okay.
There were four people to whom he gave the notice through the mailbox. And we picked that up last week, and we said, if you go and make sure those four people know about the hearing tonight, maybe this is one of them, then we can have jurisdiction, we can hear it. If you don't get to those four people, we can't hear it tonight. And he got all four people. So we accept the jurisdiction tonight. That was what was signed. It wasn't a letter saying I support it. It was just, I got the letter about the meeting.
Okay, and that would have been accepted even if it was my daughter who signed?
I don't know if she signed or not.
Okay.
But the notice was given.
I think that's like a sneaky way to get around.
Right, it was.
To have a 19-year-old child sign.
Confirmation that the applicants gave that to the four folks who only got it through the mailbox. And so everybody got notice, and you're here tonight.
Okay. Brenda, if you wouldn't mind, Ms. Kramer, to just remind the board of exactly what are the criteria that we would need to feel satisfied were met in order to grant this variance relief.
Are you sure you don't want Mr. Schneer to go on
this evening, you've been referring to the planning memorandum that you received from Kyle McManus. And they put together at the end of that memorandum a good summary of what the standards are. And I think that's come out tonight. When to get a variance, you have to prove two things, the positive and the negative. The positive is whether or not for a hardship variance, there's a reason why you can't comply with the regulations in the R4 zone. That's your burden to demonstrate that. And you mentioned that you have a 50-foot wide lot, it's kind of a long, narrow lot, and so on. But that was what you mentioned in terms of your decision to put everything in the back and save the area for you and the family to use the backyard, right? So that was kind of the factual basis, as I heard it, of what the hardship was, okay? The negative criteria is that whatever you want to do would not be a substantial detriment to the public good and inconsistent with its own plan for your neighborhood. When we look at substantial detriment to the public good, the focus is usually on the neighbors who are most closely impacted by what you want to do. That's the negative criteria. So I think that's what Jim summarized in the memorandum. So it's a two-step process. Did you satisfy the negative criteria of why, I'm sorry, the positive criteria why you couldn't put it somewhere where you didn't have to come and see us? Or did you also satisfy substantial detriment to the public good? And that's really the weighing that the board has to do tonight from a land use point of view.
And have both.
Yeah, you gotta get both. You gotta satisfy both.
Can I just say one thing from the report itself? And I'm just reading this. It says, as to the second prong of the negative criteria, the board will need to be satisfied that the intent of the setback standards, mainly the provision of adequate light, air, and open space, is not substantially impaired by the grant relief of this instance. The specific standards for setbacks of decks and patios may have the additional intent of addressing the proximity of activity to the adjacent properties and attempt to limit impact of noise, although the existing 6-foot fence likely mitigates that potential concern. We've heard that people are concerned with the noise and the six foot fence is apparently not mitigating enough, but the structure itself, I just go back to his first statement about mainly the provision of adequate light, air, and open space is not substantially impaired.
Right, and that's the second
that the board,
prong.
That the board has to be satisfied.
Right, right, right.
The board, yeah.
No, I understand.
The planner, the board.
Right.
Would anyone else like to weigh in with a comment or share their thinking about this application?
We're okay if you call the question.
Okay. I mean, I do want to say that I think as a board, we want to allow people to use their spaces, their homes in meaningful ways. And the reason that this board exists is because we understand that it's difficult in all circumstances to comply with every element of the land use ordinance. And so the task before us is really to evaluate based on very specific criteria whether or not we can grant variance relief. If anyone would like to make a motion related to this application.
I'd make a motion to approve the application.
Do I have a second? Do I hear any other motions? Can I do that, or do I have to close that one?
You can have a second and vote on that particular motion.
Okay. Would someone like to give a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
All right.
Call the roll.
Mr. Cohen?
Not in favor.
Ms. Holtham?
No.
No.
Mr. Johnson?
No.
Ms. Sigalakis?
No.
And Mr. Camasco?
Yes.
So I would recommend to the applicant as much as I can to think about ways that there's a way to use the yard. And, you know, I don't think that this is closing the door to any future applications before this board related to variance relief and how you use your backyard. But thank you for coming tonight, and thank you all members of the public for coming in. Our next meeting is June 18th.
Yes.
Do we have applications for that session?
We do. We have homeowner applications. I think that they would be ready for June, if not July. Are anybody planning to, is anyone planning to be away this summer? That we did think about scheduling that.
Not with a 6 month old.
I will be here for the 8th. Might be here for the 18th. And then the next one is the 16th?
Of July.
I won't be here in July.
Okay.
I can't go on vacation for 90 days. So.
Okay. I do anticipate probably June and July, hopefully canceling August, but still working on the schedule. Okay. We have several homeowners.
Okay. It's just homeowners right now?
Right now it is just homeowners, yes.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take this back.
Thank you.
Yeah.